Word of mouth.
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 Well done.
Mouth. Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Kids, they grow up so fast. And girls, it turns out, are growing up even faster. As early as a generation ago, less than 5% of girls went through puberty before age 8. Now that percentage has doubled. To discuss the possible causes of early puberty and provide some practical advice for parents, we spoke with the authors of the book, The New Puberty, How to Navigate Early Development in Today's Girls. Dr. Juliana Deardorff is a clinical psychologist on the faculty of the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. Dr. Louise Greenspan is a clinical pediatric endocrinologist and on faculty at UC San Francisco. We spoke to them when the book was first released. It's now out in paperback. Well, to clarify, when we talk about puberty in girls, what does that mean exactly?
What most people think of when they hear the word girls' puberty is first periods. And what people may not understand is that the process actually starts a lot earlier than that. And what we talk about with girls is the first sign of puberty being most commonly breast development, and it can be very subtle. And another common first sign would be pubic hair development.
Now, how early is early?
Well, we're seeing that girls are starting now commonly at age 7 and 8. So we were part of a large study that showed that at age 7, 15% of girls had breast development and 10% had pubic hair development. So it really is starting earlier than we used to think it started.
Well, you said it's not the same as starting their periods, but are girls who are experiencing puberty earlier also starting menses earlier?
Yeah, that's what's interesting, and part of why Louise and I got interested in studying this phenomenon. So girls are starting breast and pubic hair development earlier, but not necessarily menstruation or first period, which we call menarche.
So it looks like puberty might be taking longer.
To me, it sounds very early. Is it something to be concerned about?
Well, early puberty can have some negative downstream effects. So we know that the earlier you are when you have your first period, for example, before age 11 versus after age 14, the higher the risk of breast cancer later in your life. We also know that girls who have early pubertal development are more at risk for eating disorders, depression, earlier sexual activity, and heart disease, and in fact, all-cause mortality. But one thing we really want to make people understand is that those effects aren't necessarily bound to happen, and that parents can do a lot to modify those risks.
Well, let's talk. You've been studying this trend for quite a while, which you call the new puberty, title of your book, and your research points to three different causes, beginning with obesity. What have you found about the connection between early puberty and obesity?
Yeah, we outline in the book that a fat tissue is a very potent endocrine organ or a hormone-secreting organ. And the more fat tissue you have, the more estrogen is produced in your body. So the girls that are more overweight are going to have higher levels of estrogen, which could lead to earlier pubertal development.
And study after study has shown a correlation, a link between overweight and early development. So girls who have higher body weight tend to go through puberty earlier.
Could this be one of the explanations in why we're seeing puberty earlier in girls? I mean, as human beings develop, nutrition gets better, food gets better, but you're talking about obesity.
Yeah, we are. Although it may be along the spectrum that girls that are overweight are also at risk, we do think that this is a large cause of the earlier onset of puberty in girls, but we don't think it's the only cause. We do think that the other triggers or the other factors may be contributing.
Yeah, and it's actually a little different from kind of meeting the nutritional requirements for going through puberty. So there were certainly some large decreases in terms of the age at puberty as countries became more developed and nutrition was more available, or we moved away from situations of malnutrition, for sure. However, this obesity piece, it seems to be a different trajectory that girls are on.
Let's get to some of the other factors. Something that I've heard an awful lot about for, you know, at least the last decade is hormones in the environment. Are they a cause of early puberty?
Simplistically, no. Hormones are not necessarily a cause, but there may be chemicals that are in the environment or in the food that we eat that act like hormones in our body. They're called endocrine disrupting chemicals. So the concern is that exposure to these chemicals may lead to hormone-like actions in our bodies. The problem is that we don't know which chemicals are doing this, and we're all exposed to so many chemicals. So we do think this is a contributing factor, and we actually outline in the book ways to minimize one's exposure to those kinds of chemicals.
What are some of the hormone-mimicking or endocrine-influencing chemicals that you do identify?
So, again, the research is in its infancy, and we haven't isolated one particular chemical. But some of the ones that we're looking at in our studies are things like flame retardants, pesticides, classes of chemicals called phthalates or phenols. We're also concerned about even some naturally occurring compounds or chemicals, things like soy, lavender, tea tree oil.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about soy, certainly, and bovine growth hormone, for example. Anything conclusive on BGH?
No, there's nothing conclusive on the bovine growth hormone, but we do think that the growth hormone, any that is in any milk, is mostly broken down in the stomach, because even if you give humans human growth hormone, it is broken down in the stomach. That's why children who need, or adults who take it as a medicine, have to use it by injection. So we don't think that's a big culprit. We're more concerned, for example, about the antibiotics that those dairy cows may have been exposed to, because we don't think those are broken down in the stomach.
All right, another factor here, the last of your three causes stress among little girls. Now, what kind of stress, and why would that affect them this way?
So this is kind of a lesser known area of research that's been going on for a while. Now, while we think that stress isn't the primary culprit that would be pushing puberty earlier, because there's always been stress and there's always been issues of stress in families, we do know that girls who grow up in family environments that have low consistency, more instability, higher levels of conflict, and lower levels of warmth tend to go through puberty earlier. And that's been well documented for decades in the literature.
We're talking about some of the reasons why girls today are entering puberty so much earlier than a generation ago. I'm speaking with researchers Juliana Deerdorf and Louise Greenspan. They're co-authors of The New Puberty, How to Navigate Early Development in Today's Girls. Any of these three factors owe to cultural, socioeconomic differences?
Yeah, we actually recently published a big paper looking at socioeconomic status in the United States, and showed that indeed girls who have lower family incomes and certain markers of lower socioeconomic status tend to experience puberty earlier, at least in terms of getting their periods earlier. And there's a couple other studies that have also shown that. What's interesting is those socioeconomic differences also seem to account for some race and ethnicity differences that we see in timing of puberty in the United States.
And how far back do records go on this? When you're talking about doing research, is there anything that we know about when puberty was happening, say, you know, in the early 20th century or even earlier?
You know, not so much. So it's very tricky. The one thing that we can study at least reasonably well with data that is retrospective, looking back, recall, is onset of first period. So with some level of reliability, women can remember around when they got their first period. So we've been able to track that over generations, couple generations. And those data are interesting in terms of menstruation. But for breast and pubic hair, the data are far less reliable and consistent. So we do have some data dating back to, you know, the mid-1900s, would you say, Louise? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
However, in our studies that we've been doing more recently, we're doing a clinical examination of the girls. So we can actually palpate their breasts and know that breast tissue is not obesity, for instance. It's really hard to tease those two apart. So the rigor that's needed to know whether a girl is starting breast development early is actually quite high.
Could there be, an evolutionary reason for the pituitary gland kicking in and entering puberty at an earlier age? You know, any sort of advantage to it?
That's interesting. You know, we don't know a ton about the advantages. They haven't been as well studied. However, there is a whole body of work that's been done in evolutionary developmental psychology that says in homes where girls are growing up, where there is less consistency and perhaps more signals of danger, that girls go into puberty early because there's not a whole lot of reason to wait. And if we're talking about reproduction as the ultimate marker of, you know, kind of success, from an evolutionary perspective at least.
So there's danger, danger, danger.
Right.
You should reproduce now.
You
don't know how long you'll be around. Any indication that this new puberty is happening in other countries?
So there is a wealth of literature coming out in other locations. For example, the Netherlands has studied, and they're showing a similar effect. And other research is also going on in places like Chile and other developed countries. It does look like it's an issue in the developed world.
It's hard to wrap one's head around. I mean, what is your best piece of advice for a parent? You know, how to start the conversation about puberty for girls and boys, too, when they seem so young?
Well, I think, you know, it's part of why we wrote this book. And to arm yourself with knowledge, I think, is the first step for parents. This can be very awkward for parents who haven't had experience talking about these kinds of changes. And of course, a generation ago, people didn't really talk about this stuff with their kids. It just happened. So arming yourself with knowledge, getting the right kind of material so you know how to get started really helps. And also, there's great books for kids as well out there.
How about for boys? Do they have to understand this change in girls as well?
We really advocate for teaching both gendered kids about what's going on. Boys are the peers of girls in almost all schools these days, and they need to understand what's happening with girls' bodies and also the appropriate ways to handle that. And, for example, not snapping girls' bras in fourth grade when there's one girl who wears a bra. We think that can be very traumatic. So we do want to support the boys so that they have the knowledge to react appropriately and treat their peers with kindness.
You do also advocating for using the technical anatomical terms for body parts, even with young children. Why is that important?
You know, we think it's important because we want to all be on the same page, particularly with our kids. And if we start to slip into euphemisms or kind of symbols but not use the real word, we don't know if we're talking about the same thing. I mean, a good example is for menstruation. Like, so many folks have historically used words like your visitor or Aunt Flo.
Or the curse.
Or the curse, my goodness. And it really makes more sense to be using the same words, and then they can use those words with their peers, and kids can then make more sense out of it.
So any parting advice for, you know, people who are witnessing girls whose bodies are growing up much faster than their brains?
We really recommend treating them as their chronological age. There's such a push to think of them as more advanced or older or more mature if their bodies are developing early. And actually, they may not be socially, emotionally, and cognitively ready for those expectations.
Dr. Juliana Deardorff right there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Juliana Deardorff, clinical psychologist on the faculty of UC Berkeley. And Dr. Louise Greenspan, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Louise Greenspan, a clinical pediatric endocrinologist. She also works at Kaiser San Francisco and is on the faculty at UC San Francisco. You can find much more on their book, The New Puberty. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org.